Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. I wish you could visit Insight for Living, sit down in one of our offices, and read the mail that comes in each day, or answer our phone. There's a common thread. People continue to express their appreciation for the predictability of our program. They always know what to expect, they say. No surprises. When the familiar theme music starts, as it will in a few moments, you know exactly what's coming. We teach the Bible, and we do it with honesty, non-sugar-coated honesty. We open God's Word, and then we go about telling the truth. It's called predictable. Well, because you're one of our loyal listeners, I need to tell you that the financial goal we're required to meet before the 30th of June right now is feeling overwhelming. Humanly speaking, it's a frightening number, but it's not overwhelming when I pause and consider God's faithfulness, combined with the size of our audience. You know this? If everyone within the sound of my voice would do their part, we could literally reach our goal in a single day. So please, do your part. Do something right now, okay? Here's the number to call, 1-800-772-8888. Or go online at insight.org. It'll ensure our program continues without any interruption. Together, let's keep telling the truth. As you give, you can turn that radio on or check onto your computer every single day, and you'll know exactly what's coming. It's called predictable.
Most moms and dads look back fondly on the child-rearing stage. Recalling that season of taking care of little ones stirs up nostalgia, and we love to reminisce about the good old days. But for many parents, the memories also carry a measure of guilt. There were times when we failed our kids. Perhaps it was an ugly encounter, or missing too many concerts or soccer games. Well, today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll talk about those inevitable moments of regret when we lashed out or made a poor choice. Chuck titled his talk, What to Do When You've Blown It.
Today we're looking at two Old Testament scriptures. Both of them may be difficult for you to find if you're not familiar with your Bible. One is in the second minor prophet named Joel. Minor prophets begin with Hosea and take you all the way to the end of the Old Testament. There are 12 of them. The second one is Joel. Locate Joel chapter 2. And then after you've done that, find Isaiah chapter 58. We'll be reading them in opposite order. First, we'll read from Isaiah 58 and then from Joel 2. Isaiah 58, verse 6. Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, and if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness, and your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones. And you will be like a watered garden,
like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. Joel chapter 2, begin the reading at verse 23. So rejoice, O sons of Zion, and be glad in the Lord your God, for he has given you the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you the rain, the early and latter rain as before. The threshing floors will be full of grain, and the vats will overflow with the new wine and oil. Then I will make up to you for the years the swarming locust has eaten, the creeping locusts, the stripping locusts, and the gnawing locust, my great army, which I sent among you. You shall have plenty to eat and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. Then my people will never be put to shame. Two unusual sections of scripture that we will apply today to parents who have blown it, to those of us who have failed in one way or another in our roles as moms and dads.
You're listening to Insight for Living. You'll find helpful resources on today's topic by going to insightworld.org. And now Chuck Swindoll on what to do when you've blown it.
I remember when I almost drowned. To make matters worse, our younger son almost drowned with me. It was many years ago. Our children were small, and we had just purchased a little tent camper. It's a tent on wheels that allows you to nestle into an area in the woods wherever you wish. You're up off the ground, and you're able to enjoy the fresh air of the out-of-doors, the beauty of God's nature. It was one of those sites located near an emerald-colored lake that was cold and deep. The mornings were crisp, and on occasion when you took your walk, you could see your breath, really chilly. As the sun rose, it would warm your back, and during the day, you could enjoy for a while time at the lake. Though it was too cold to swim, the children enjoyed playing there, and as night fell, it was like there were a million nails driven in the sky with silver heads, beautiful stars. Idyllic until that day. We had been there about half a week, and I thought while the children were playing, I would sling our youngest on my shoulders, and others call it a piggyback ride. We always called it a daddy back ride. So I was going to give him a daddy back ride and decided we would move over into the water. And I began to wade up to my knees, and I'm holding him at his knees so he doesn't fall off. And I go a little deeper, a little deeper, and finally I'm up to my chest. He's just able to kick his feet in the water. And he says, "More, Daddy, more." And so I'm thinking, well, okay, I've got his legs, and I'll slip down a little further, a little deeper. And I was now up. He wanted to be at his waist, and that meant I'm over my head. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll do a little bounce number here and make it an extra. And he loved it. Kicked his feet, jerked on my glasses, pulled on my ears, hung onto my hair, and oh, it was the greatest thing, until I suddenly realized there was no bottom. There was nothing to bounce up from. We had slipped further down the slick bank, and now we were further out, and I had two seizing realizations. I cannot keep kicking and keep us up. And if I don't kick, we will drown. The family was about 100, 150 yards down the way, and I couldn't have called for help anyway because I was beginning to gag. And when I would go far enough down, he would go under. And he began to cough and cry. And I began to cry. I literally thought, this is it. I can't keep kicking and I can't stay up. I reached over as far as I could with my foot and I felt with my toe the root of a tree, small root, that had grown out into the soft mud of that bank area. And I grabbed it as best I could and I thought, oh, if there were just more, I could get a toehold. And I kicked with my other leg and sure enough, there were other small little rootlets. And finally, there was enough of a network of roots for me to find footing. And then I got my other leg over and by now we're walking out and I'm stumbling onto the shore. And I pull him off my shoulders and I hugged him and told him how much I loved him. He's by now laughing. And I remember his saying, "Let's do that again, Daddy." Today I speak to you who feel like you are drowning. You're over your head, but you're not in cold water. You're drowning in guilt, shame, self-made blame. The reason I say that is because you have been listening carefully to each message on the family, rearing children, loving them, caring for them, taking time for them, dealing with wrong by disciplining them, showing mercy where necessary, and setting boundaries where that's important. And you have sat there realizing every message you're just getting deeper and deeper. And you may have by now felt like that the depth is bottomless. You're thinking, when my kids were younger, so was I, and I was too impatient to give them the time they deserved. And as they were growing up, I was preoccupied with my work, and the demands of my schedule were such that I failed to value them and to tell them how much they meant to me. When they did wrong, I didn't take the time I should have taken to handle it right, and at my worst moment, I would simply say to my spouse, "Here, you deal with her. You take care of him." And even when they got old enough to reach out, I didn't reach back because we really had no relationship. And I realize now that I am this age, I have blown it. Not only do I feel like I'm drowning, my own children feel that they are drowning in anger and confusion and disappointment in me, and perhaps even blame. It's hard to live with. And there's this aching void that causes you at times to lose your breath. To borrow a song Barry Manilow made popular years ago, "You too now pass like ships in the night. You come and go, but there's this distance. You have blown it." I've thought about this for the last several weeks because I've heard your response. More than any other response, I've heard this from you who are parents, especially you who are moving into the older adult years. If I had only known then what I know now, what do I do now? Those words come from sincere moms and dads who absolutely don't know what to do with their shame. To make matters worse, when holidays come, it's awkward. When the family talks about getting together, you're busy finding excuses why it won't work. Or they're now busy. They have their lives. So what do you do? Is there any hope? Is there any future for parents who have failed? Let me begin with what I have called in the outline some painful realities of being human, okay? Some painful realities of being human. Let's start there. I would even encourage you, if you have a pen, to write some thoughts down. You'll forget them if you don't. If you do, you'll return to them and you'll need them. First, we are all imperfect, including our children. I know you know that, but you need to write that down because you've forgotten that. That's why you feel so shameful and guilty. Your goal, as you think back, was to have been a better parent, but you weren't. You were what you were. You are imperfect. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To paraphrase it, all of us have failed and come short of our responsibilities as parents. That's all of us. Through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all, for all have sinned, as you and me, all of us. All of us who were kids failed. We didn't obey all the time. We didn't do what was right all the time, either with our parents or away from them. We're imperfect. And because we are doing our best as parents to rear our children, being imperfect, knowing that we're dealing with children who are imperfect, it's a no-win deal in many ways. One man put it like this: you're not just trying to raise your child. You've had to take a piece of damaged goods and you're trying to restore it. This is hard to do. So true. It's hard enough to know that you're imperfect, but now you're dealing with a child that is just like you, imperfect. We're all in that category. Back several years ago, one of my favorite writers, Peggy Noonan, in the Wall Street Journal, wrote a piece that I have kept. It's a good reminder of this point. She writes, there's a small but telling scene in Ridley Scott's Black Hawk Down that contains some dialogue that reverberates, at least for me. The movie, as you will remember, is about the Battle of the Bakara Market at Mogadishu, Somalia. It's October 1993. In the scene, the actor, Tom Sizemore, playing your basic tough guy U.S. Ranger colonel, is in charge of a small convoy of Humvees trying to make its way back to base under heavy gun and rocket fire. The colonel stops the convoy, takes in some wounded, tears a dead driver out of the driver's seat of a Jeep, and barks at a bleeding sergeant who is standing in shock nearby. "Get in the truck and drive," says the colonel. But I'm shot, colonel." To which the colonel responds, "Everybody's shot. Get in and drive." I say to you who are parents and to all of us who have reared children, we've all been shot. We've all been hit with the shrapnel of depravity. We all have been impatient. We all have lost our temper. We all have rushed to judgment. We all have been too busy. We all have neglected. We've all known the pain of argumentation and disharmony and maybe even some walking out. We've all been shot. Second, doesn't help the first, but it makes it real. We cannot change the past. Oh, I know, I know. I would love to be able to do that, but you can't change the past. Listen to me, it is set in stone. It is set in stone. For you to spend your time retracing those steps and trying to correct them or make them less than they were, wow, what a waste. That's Fantasy Island. Don't waste your time. The past is set. It's done. Without making light of it, we must press on beyond our failures and our mistakes and our sins. Paul writes in Philippians 3:13, "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on." Say those three words with me. I press on. You forget those words, you'll sit there in your guilt and shame and you will lose vital years beating yourself up. We cannot change the past. And before you think I'm making light of it, here's the third one. We are personally responsible for our own wrongs. We are personally responsible for our own wrongs. You cannot blame someone else. If you do, you're making a very terrible mistake. You did wrong, it was wrong. You are responsible for it. You failed here, you failed here. It is your responsibility. Don't rationalize around it. It will not solve anything for you to rationalize around some failure or excuse it because you were busy or it wasn't the right time or you had tried before or you had other pressing responsibilities. Don't go there. I love the words of the prodigal son when he finally came to his senses. Father, I have sinned against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I have sinned. I've been shot. I've blown it. I don't deserve a place back. Even just put me in the shed with the servant. No. It's another story. But that was the only place he felt he could live, having treated his dad and his brother as he had treated them. The thing I have always appreciated about Alcoholics Anonymous is whenever you introduce yourself to the group, you start with your first name and you add, I am an alcoholic. Let's say your name is Fred. My name is Fred. I am an alcoholic. My name is Shirley. I am an alcoholic. That's very healthy. No addict ever gains sobriety by denying that he or she has the disease. I am this. You sit here today and you listen to these words, and one of the most helpful and healthy things you can do is acknowledge, I have been wrong. I am responsible for my wrongdoing. Now, let's not stay there. I mean, if I keep up this message, we'll all go out and want to jump off a cliff. So let's get a little hope and future in this. And if you'll turn with me to one of the major prophets named Jeremiah. I want you to mark this verse I'm going to show you, these two verses, Jeremiah 29, verse 11 and verse 12. When I first found these verses years and years ago, I remember almost shouting because they gave me such relief. Jeremiah's writing these words under God's direction to a people who have been far, far away from God for years. And I'm sure they thought they were finished. They thought they will never know God as they once did. And Jeremiah 29:11 adds the words from God himself. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Look at that. I know the plans I have for you. You and I don't know them. The Lord does. And they are plans to give us a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. There's hope in those three verses. I love those verses.
Well, we're just getting started in this practical message on the family. What to do when you've blown it. You're listening to Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living. Find us online at insightworld.org. With the time constraint of this half-hour program, we rarely have the occasion to hear a full-length, uninterrupted presentation from Chuck. Most of his sermons are about 1 hour in length. For that reason, you'll want to own the audio CD or downloadable MP3 file of today's message. It's one of the six messages included in a collection of the most highly requested sermons from last year. It's called Wisdom for Home and Work, Listener Favorites, Volume 2. And it's yours when you give a much-needed donation as we close the books on another financial year. June 30th is coming this Monday, and it's imperative we hear from you. As you benefit from the teaching on Insight for Living, please do your part in supporting this nonprofit ministry. Go to insight.org. Chuck?
We promise to remain faithful to our calling
as you come alongside with your financial support. So please, don't dismiss my comments today, hoping someone else will do your part. You do your part. And please, don't let your good intentions get eclipsed by some little distraction. It'll only take a few minutes. So thanks for responding right now.
And here's our contact information. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or if it's easier for you, just go online and make your donation at insight.org. When you give a contribution toward the ministry today, remember to request the special package of audio CDs or downloadable MP3 files called Wisdom for Home and Work, Listener Favorites, Volume 2. It contains 6 of the most highly requested sermons in the last year, including today's message, What to Do When You've Blown It, along with Shaping the Will with Wisdom, and suggestions for parenting grown-up kids. Go to insight.org. Well, if you've been listening to this program for a matter of months or even years, you've been the recipient of someone else's thoughtful generosity. We couldn't possibly continue on radio or the internet without the consistent financial help of our monthly companions. Perhaps today's the day you'll decide to become a monthly companion as well. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Chuck Swindoll continues his message to parents on What to Do When You've Blown It, Wednesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, What to Do When You've Blown It, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2013 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.